You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, as we finish up our series, Social Justice versus Biblical Justice, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul writes, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And let's pray. Lord, I pray as we look at this subject today of homosexuality and transgenderism that you would give us a passion, Lord, first of all, for truth, to know what's right and wrong, and also, Lord, for grace, Lord, to be able to handle fellow sinners in a way, Lord, that you handled us with love and with grace and mercy. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Ever since 1910, the Boy Scouts of America taught generations of boys to be trustworthy, kind, reverent to God, the whole nine yards. But because of that commitment to God, LGBT activists had a cow and started attacking. And sadly enough, the Boy Scouts started caving. In 2015, for the first time, they allowed gay scout leaders. In January of 2017, they allowed trans boys in, or girls who just think they're boys. October of 2017, they allowed all girls in. And because so many girls started joining the Boy Scouts of America, they changed their name to Scouts BSA. And today, so many girls are still joining the Boy Scouts of America. The Girl Scouts of America are now suing the Boy Scouts of America for trademark infringement. And folks, what a perfect example of the damage that the LGBT movement does by trying to erase the God-given differences between male and female. LGBT is the most emotionally charged issue in the entire social justice movement today. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Social Justice versus Biblical Justice, looking at some of the biggest issues in the social justice movement today and seeing what the Bible really says about them and what we Christians really need to do about them. And today we finish this series by looking at the LGBT movement. And to see what the Bible really says about it, we turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. In our text today, the Apostle Paul lists out all kinds of bad things that people do and then says, "Those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And some of those things describe homosexual and transgender behavior. But the Holy Spirit is telling us today, even though God's opinion of LGBT has never changed, neither has His love for the people in that lifestyle or His ability to set them free. Our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, tells us three things that we need to understand in order to deal with the LGBT issue like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to understand in order to deal with this issue, we need to understand what the Bible says about it. Because what the Bible says is the only thing that matters. The Bible says that God created all human beings, either male or female, physically complementary, so they would hook up with an opposite sex partner and not a same sex partner. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And anybody who has ever played with Legos understands that. It was God's plan for a male husband and a female wife and the children they produce to make something called family. That's been the foundation of every civilization throughout the history of the whole wide world. So your gender is exactly the same thing as the biological sex you had from birth. And homosexuality is outside of God's plan. But LGBT activists say, even though your biological sex is fixed at birth, your gender is how you feel about it. So that can change like the wind. And homosexuality is as fine and dandy as cotton candy. So, folks, the LGBT movement goes contrary to the Word of God from the very start, by very definition. If you believe that your gender is different from your sex, that's flat-out rebellion against the very way that God made you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Shall the pot say to the potter, why did you make me like this? No. Verse 9 here. These words that are translated, male prostitute and homosexual offender in the Greek, are malakoi and arsenikoitai, which literally means men who act like women and men who bed other men, which describes both the passive and the aggressive partners in guy-on-guy sex. Not talking about prostitution at all, whatsoever. And since homosexuality is listed here in this list with all the other sins, the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. Old Testament and New Testament. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says it's detestable. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 calls it unnatural relations for both men and women. Because homosexuality is not God's plan for human relationships. And God did not create human beings for gay sex. And it trashes their physical bodies. And it doesn't produce children. The only sexual relationship that God has ever ordained or blessed is in heterosexual marriage. Period. End of sentence. End of discussion. Now, all kinds of so-called gay Christians, like Matthew Vines, do all kinds of hermeneutical gymnastics to try to claim the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality. Like saying that Leviticus chapter 18 and Romans chapter 1 just talking about male temple prostitution. But folks, do you see temple prostitution anywhere in those verses? No. And they cite Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. That says the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was lack of hospitality. But they conveniently forget Jude chapter 1 verse 7 says the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was also sexual perversion. Folks, the act of gay sex in and of itself, regardless of the circumstances, the relationships, or the feelings involved, is wrong. That's just what the Bible says. Well, Kevin, Moses and Paul, they didn't understand gender like we understand it today. You mean God didn't understand it because it's God's words. Well, they didn't know about committed gay relationships. So God's sitting up in heaven going, oh, that's right, committed gay relationships. I forgot about that. Okay, my bad, sorry. Just forget everything I said and gay is okay. No. Folks, there's absolutely no evidence at all for what the LGBT movement is claiming. Francis Collins, the world's number one expert on genetics and mastermind of the Genome Project, said this: there is not one shred of evidence that anyone is born gay or transgender. The American Psychological Association, which is not a Christian organization by a long shot, says this on its website: there is no consensus among scientists about the exact reasons people develop homosexual orientation. Folks, don't you think if they knew that it was proven that people were born gay, they would announce it and celebrate it with a ticker tape parade? The DSM-5, the Diagnostic Handbook for All Professional Counselors, still lists transgenderism as a mental illness called gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder. Because if some person thinks they're living in the wrong body, obviously the problem is not with their body, the problem is with their mind. Human beings only come in two versions, male or female. 99.93% XX or XY sex chromosomes, and the rest are mutations. Living as one gender while really being another is a psychological disorder, and trying to get society to accept a psychological disorder is sociopathy. Consciously or unconsciously, LGBT is chosen behavior. Period. Every single one of us has fallen in sin. For some people, that fallenness shows up in homosexuality or transgenderism. And folks, do we have any idea the damage that that movement is causing? When the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in 2015, they opened Pandora's box. And it's been trans crazy ever since. Right now, there's a 69-year-old man in the Netherlands who claims he is trans age. So right now, he's trying to get his birth date changed on his birth certificate because even though he's really 69 years old, he says he only feels like he's 49. So how about if I say that I'm trans disabled? Can I park in the handicapped parking spot then? And if somebody says something, I'll just say, hey, leave me alone. I'm trans disabled. What are you, some kind of a bigot? Here's some of the damage that homosexuality and transgenderism does to people. Depression, anxiety disorder, self-injury, delusions, disassociated states, suicidal thoughts and tendencies. And folks, it's not because society doesn't affirm them. Are you kidding me? Today we even have the very first openly gay presidential candidate, Peter Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Kids are being indoctrinated with trans ideology even before they know the facts of life. I know a 6-year-old girl who came home crying after a program at school because she was afraid she was going to turn into a little boy. Romans chapter 1 says LGBT is already a sign that a nation is being judged by the Lord. And worst of all, verse 11, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. LGBT activists have no idea the damage that they are doing, even to the most innocent people. Last May the 14th, a woman named Tonda Marshman and her 8-year-old daughter Brady were in a restaurant in Chicago, Jason's Deli in the South Loop. And after they got done eating, they decided that they would hit the women's bathroom before they started shopping again. But while mom was in the stall doing her business, all of a sudden she heard her daughter in the next stall screaming and thrashing around. Flew out of there, flung open the door, and saw that man, 33-year-old Reese Hardisman, choking her little daughter until she'd already passed out. And mom started screaming and beating on the guy until other customers rushed into that bathroom, pulled him off, and held him till police got there. And Reese Hardisman was arrested for aggravated criminal assault of a child. Now, why was that man in that woman's bathroom to begin with, even though Jason's Deli does have a security guard watching both bathroom doors? I'll tell you why. Because Chicago has an ordinance passed that bans all discrimination based on gender identity in all public bathrooms, including restaurant bathrooms. And because Chicago is too open-minded and too politically correct to require anybody to actually show proof of their gender identity, that security guard didn't think anything of it when that man walked into that woman's bathroom. Now, the Human Rights Campaign of Chicago was very quick to announce Reese Hardisman is not transgender. But folks, that misses the whole point. If you allow men who just think they're women into a women's bathroom, you also have to allow all men, even the perverted ones, into a women's bathroom. Otherwise, it's even more discrimination. Folks, can we just admit that there are real differences between men and women, and it's not a good idea to let a man, any man, regardless of what he thinks he is or who he calls himself, into a woman's bathroom? The Bible says it is not wrong for women to have a sense of modesty or a desire for privacy when they're taking care of business. But it is wrong to put a whole bunch of innocent people at risk in order to indulge the fantasies of a very few troubled people, which is exactly what the LGBT movement is doing, and a little 8-year-old girl almost died because of it. The first thing that we need to understand in order to deal with this issue like God wants us to, we need to understand what the Bible says about it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to understand in order to deal with LGBT issues. We not only need to understand what the Bible says about them, we also need to understand how they are being pushed today. And it's everywhere. Last year, the aquarium in Sydney, Australia, announced that they had 2 gay penguins. 2 males named Sven and Magic who adopted a foster egg and then hatched it together. But folks, how do those officials not know that those 2 guys just teamed up for the Penguin Big Brother program? Gay penguins. See the book that's being used now? Latest book in kindergarten? Red, a crayon story. The story of a red crayon who identifies as a blue crayon, even though it's not blue. Gee, I wonder what that book is teaching kids. There's a bill now in the Illinois legislature that would require tampon dispensers in all boys' bathrooms in all Illinois public schools. I kid you not. To make kids think that boys have exactly the same bodily functions as girls. People, now it's official, we really are living in the Twilight Zone. And any disagreement whatsoever is labeled as hate. Actress and gay activist Ellen Page said this on Stephen Colbert. And remember, Vice President Mike Pence tried to defend the rights of Christian business owners in Indiana to opt out of servicing gay weddings. This is what she said on that show.
This is how you have to be fired.
It feels
up.
Impossible to you not feel to this way right now with yeah. the president and the vice president, Mike Pence, who like wishes I couldn't be married. Let's just be clear. The vice president of America wishes I didn't have the love with my wife. He wanted to ban that in Indiana. He believes in conversion therapy. He has hurt LGBTQ people so badly as the government of Indiana, and I think the thing we need to know, and I hope my show Gaycation did this, in terms of connecting the dots, in terms of what happened the other day to Jesse, I don't know him personally, I sent all of my love. Connect the dots. This is what happens. If you are in a position of power and you hate people, and you want to cause suffering to them, you go through the trouble. You spend your career trying to cause suffering. What do you think is going to happen? Kids are going to be abused and they're going to kill themselves. And people are going to be beaten on the street.
Well, folks, first of all, this idea that disagreement equals hate is absolutely ridiculous. I disagree with my wife, Sue, about wearing socks to bed at night, but that doesn't mean that I hate her. There's parents in this room right now. If your kids started drinking, you would be all over them. But you wouldn't do that because you hate them. You do it because you love them. And the only reason gay activists use that word hate is to stop arguments that they know they can't win. Maybe those teenagers are killing themselves because social media tells them that they can be more gender flavors than Baskin Robbins all at the same time. And because of that, they have no clue who they really are. Maybe those teenagers are killing themselves because they have same-sex attraction that they don't want. But see, closed-minded activists like Ellen Page are telling them that if they have it, they're stuck with it. And they'll never get rid of it because they can't ever change. And maybe because of that, these teenagers are feeling so hopeless and so desperate and so depressed, they're off in themselves. But see, truth is binary. Real love equals hate. Christianity is evil. Your problems are always somebody else's fault. And if it feels good, it must be good. That's the gospel according to Ellen Page. That's what's being pushed today. Doctors today are pushing the trans agenda, even though they know it's a scam. Because doctors know no matter what they do, the male or female DNA in your body is never going to change gender. And yet they're pushing it on kids. And they're getting the parents to okay it by telling them, your kids are going to kill themselves if you don't let them transition. And why do the kids want to transition? Because they don't feel comfortable in their body. Well, of course they don't feel comfortable in their body. It's called puberty. And study after study tells us if the kids just ride it out, 98% of the boys and 90% of the girls will outgrow their gender dysphoria by the time they get halfway through high school. But instead, doctors are taking children as young as 7 and 8 years old, doping them up like a bear in the zoo, chemically sterilizing them, and then cutting on them like Dr. Frankenstein. Folks, if kids have perfectly normal bodies, perfectly healthy bodies, perfectly functioning bodies, obviously the problem is not with their bodies. The problem is how they feel about their bodies. Why aren't they treating that? Study after study after study proves the more time kids spend with social media, the more they want to come out as trans, and at younger and younger ages. That's what's causing it. The American College of Pediatrics said this back in 2016, propagating so-called gender change through toxic hormones and unnecessary surgery as health care for children is nothing but institutionalized child abuse. That's what's being pushed. And worst of all, the LGBT agenda today is being pushed by Christians who make excuses for it. LGBT only makes up 2.5% of the American population. It's all their supporters, and including a lot of clueless Christians, that give it a lot more influence than what it deserves. Christians making all kinds of excuses for homosexuality. Well, there's only 6 verses in the Bible that specifically mention homosexuality. Well, so what? There's only 1 verse in the Bible that specifically mentions being born again. But see, there's all kinds of other verses in the Bible that describe it. Just like there's all other kinds of verses in the Bible that describe homosexuality, all negatively. Well, Kevin, there's other laws in the Old Testament that Christians don't follow. Once and for all, there was civil law that applied only to the Israelites. Jews shouldn't charge Jews interest on loans. There was ceremonial law that only applied to the Israelites, like don't eat pork. But then there was moral law that didn't just apply to the Israelites. It applied to all people, all places, all times. Like Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, homosexuality. And if you disagree with me, you show me where in the Bible it says homosexuality was wrong for the Israelites, but it's okay for everybody else. Because Romans chapter 1 blows that out of the water. And even though Jesus Christ fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law for us, the moral law still stands, not as a requirement of salvation, but as a standard of behavior for all people, all places, of all time. And if I've heard this excuse, I've heard it a billion times. Well, Kevin, LGBT, we'll let God judge them. God will judge them. Yes. Do you realize God is actually going to do that? Do you realize that one day they are actually going to stand before God and be judged for homosexuality and transgenderism? Where's your concern for their everlasting soul? Christians, you got to realize by making excuses for homosexuality, you are not helping them. And remember, the Bible not only condemns homosexuality, it also condemns anybody who approves of it or makes excuses for it too. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Church, stop trying to justify the gay lifestyle. See what's being pushed? And I know there's some people listening to this sermon right now. You're not pushing it. Because you have same-sex attraction and you don't want it. There's all kinds of reasons why people turn to homosexuality. But the vast majority of gay people, the vast majority of the gay people that I've worked with and counseled with are in the homosexual lifestyle because of some kind of abuse, some kind of hurt, some kind of rejection. Almost 100%. Cheryl Swopes, professional women's basketball player, the female Michael Jordan, lived as a lesbian during her entire pro career, but then she turned her back on homosexuality. This is what she said. No one is born gay. It's learned behavior brought on by circumstances and experiences in your life, and deep down inside, all gay people know that. Gospel singer Donnie McClurkin, who was horribly abused as he was growing up, lived as a gay man, but then he turned his back on homosexuality too. This is what Donnie McClurkin said. I turned to homosexuality to try to cope with being sexually abused when I was really young. But I have experienced God's power to change and be delivered. And I know God can deliver other people too. There's gay people listening to this sermon right now. Maybe somebody sitting right here in this room. Let me ask you this morning. What happened to you? And who did it? And how bad was it? Homosexuality, in vast majority of cases, is an attempt to cover up some hurt that never got healed. But the good news is you let Jesus Christ deal with those issues that are causing the homosexuality. Jesus Christ will heal that hurt and He'll set you free. I've seen it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I don't care how bad, how deep, how horrible that hurt may have been. Stephen Black grew up in West Virginia, and his childhood was an absolute nightmare. When he was 6 years old, a male babysitter showed him porn and sexually molested him and totally trashed his understanding of what real love and sexuality should be. When he was 7 years old, his older brother's friends showed him porn. And when he didn't want to look at it because the problems it caused him the first time, they called him a queer. And that word stuck in his head. When he was 11 years old, he's then sexually molested by another male neighbor. and then repeatedly molested by a 15-year-old male cousin when his family visited the cousin's family out in Colorado. And Stephen Black started to ask himself, what is wrong with me? Is there something about me that's attracting these guys and attracting these men to me? Am I really gay? And the devil started to convince him that he was. See how the devil uses abuse to mess people up? So at 12 years old, Stephen Black started smoking pot and having sex with girls in junior high to try to prove that he wasn't gay. But when all the gay feelings and the gay desires didn't go away, he started to get so depressed he was suicidal, until one of his friends came to him and said, well, it's probably, you're just probably bisexual, and that's totally normal. So he gave up on all the girls and started hooking up with that friend. And then he started going to gay bars, was in one gay relationship with one gay man after the other. But none of those relationships ever lasted, and none of them ever satisfied him. And even though a Catholic priest told him being gay is perfectly fine, he knew deep down inside it was nothing but emptiness. And one night he got so desperate, he cried out to God and said, Lord, if you don't show me a way out of this, I'm going to kill myself right now. And what do you know? At that exact moment, he got a phone call from an old friend from high school named Mary, who invited him to a Bible study at her church. And Stephen Black went, and for the first time in his life, he met real Christians who really loved him and really cared about him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, what you're looking for is what these people have, and it's me. Later on that night at his apartment, he cried out to God again and said, Lord, where in the Bible does it say that homosexuality is a sin? He opened the Bible right to Leviticus 18:22. Where it says, it is a sin for a man to lie with a man as he would with a woman. And folks, that's what did it. The Holy Spirit touched his heart. He got down on his knees. He begged God for forgiveness. He asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and be his Lord and Savior. He got saved February 6, 1983. And Stephen Black's life was never, ever the same. With the help of a pastor, he started working through all those issues that were causing the homosexuality, all the anger, all the confusion, all the bitterness. And folks, when the bitterness started to come out of him, God gave him a brand new heart. 4 months later, God brought a woman named Robin to the church that he was attending. They got married in 1986. They had three daughters together. Today, he has three grandkids, and he still writes and speaks all over the world, reaching out to all homosexuals with the message that Jesus Christ can set them free. This is what Stephen Black said. No matter how much you've been hurt, there is freedom from homosexuality through absolute surrender and total dependence on Jesus Christ while processing all the hurt and the pain. Homosexuals who refuse to acknowledge the sin and the healing that comes through Christ will never be set free, but those who repent and turn to Jesus will be. Freedom is different depending on what God determines for each person, but still, those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. People, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you've been hurt or burned or rejected. I don't care how long you've been in the gay lifestyle. I don't care how dirty or guilty or ashamed you feel. I don't care how desperate or depressed you are. There is hope and there is help. And His name is Jesus Christ. And even if all the other gay people in the whole wide world don't want anything to do with Him, don't you dare let that stop you from getting a healing. Just like Stephen Black, you cry out to God, He will show you the truth, and He will show you how Jesus Christ can set you free. The gay movement wants you to keep surrendering to those temptations. Jesus Christ wants to give you the strength to overcome those temptations and live the life that He originally created you to have. Psalm chapter 68, verse 21, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Homosexuality will never, ever heal that hurt that you have in your heart, but Jesus Christ will, if you give Him a chance. The second thing that we need to understand in order to deal with this issue, we need to understand how it's being pushed and how Jesus pushes back. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to understand in order to deal with the LGBT issue. We not only need to understand what the Bible says about it, we not only need to understand how it's being pushed, but third, we Christians need to know what we're supposed to do about it. Because Christians, right now, we are in enemy territory, living behind enemy lines. You say or do one thing that even hints that LGBT is not as right as rain, there is hell to pay. From big gay and big trans. Vice President Mike Pence, activists now want to take his Secret Service protection away from him. Just because his wife is teaching in a Christian school. Are you now or have you ever been a member of a Bible-believing church? Last week, Former tennis star Martina Navratilova just said it's not fair for men who think they're women to compete in women's sports. Folks, she got death threats for saying that. And she's been a rabid gay activist for the last 40 years. Right now, polls show a vast majority of the American people, 53%, more than a majority, say there's absolutely nothing wrong with homosexuality or gay marriage, including 3 out of 4 13 to 18-year-olds. That's the future. Christians, time and numbers are not on our side. When gay marriage is legal in all 50 states, when 15 states have already banned reparative therapy that helps people get rid of same-sex attraction, when a president lights up the White House with the gay rainbow colors, when the only people left for the activists to brainwash are 5-year-olds in nursery school, we know that we lost this political battle a long time ago. But Christians, listen to me. Even if we have lost the country on this issue, we can still win individual people. But for crying out loud, we have got to take a stand and stand up for what we believe. Because there is no neutral ground on this issue. And God right now is drawing a line, and He's asking every single one of us, which side are you on? LGBT is a fantasy world, and you do not indulge it one bit. You don't acknowledge gay relationships because those are not legitimate relationships in the eyes of God. You don't attend gay weddings because your attendance implies your approval, and you do not approve. You treat people like the gender they really are, not like the gender they're pretending to be. Your church starts to compromise, you go to a church council meeting. You go to school board meetings and parent-teachers conferences to find out what your school is teaching your kids and other people's kids. Last November, the school board in Brownsburg, Indiana, started requiring all teachers to refer to the so-called transgender students with those silly pronouns that sound like Klingon. Well, one of those teachers, a Christian teacher named John Klug, refused. And instead, he just kept referring to all the students by their first name. He got fired for that. You're going to take a stand. Got to be willing to take the heat. Every single year, high school students all across America have something called a Day of Silence, where they push for special rights for LGBT. Last April, a group of Christian students in San Francisco, California, the gay Mecca, pushed for a day of dialogue and were given permission to hold an all-school assembly where they got to present what the Bible says about sexuality and gender and marriage. Talk about taking a stand in the belly of the beast. Christians, in order to stand up, you got to speak up. Because if we Christians don't speak up, who else is going to? And you don't have to win any arguments. You don't have to change anybody's mind. The Holy Spirit will do that by taking whatever it is you say and applying it to people's hearts. Stand up and speak up. But we always need to do that with grace. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus Christ meant absolutely every single word He ever said, but He was never mean about it. Never. And Christians, we need to show grace and compassion to homosexuals and transgenders because they really are deceived. And because, as this verse tells us over and over again, our sin doesn't smell any better than theirs. Every single one of us has done at least one of these things mentioned here in verses 9 and 10. And in this entire list of sins, notice homosexuality is not first on the list. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. God showed us grace, we show them grace. One hand up, one hand out. Homosexuality is wrong, how can I help you? I love you, you don't have to be gay. Because they're lost, folks. Studies show that the suicide rate for transgenders is 20 times higher after their reassignment surgery than it was before. Because all the reassignment and all the transition can't save them. But Jesus Christ can. You say, but Kevin, verse 11 says they won't inherit the kingdom of God. That's for the ones who don't repent. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, if you continue in sin, I don't care what the sin is, repeatedly, continuously, with no qualms, no repentance, sayonara, you won't be saved. Sorry, Matthew Vines, there's no such thing as an openly gay Christian who is going to heaven. But if you struggle with it, and you admit that it's wrong, and you repent and you fight against it, you will go to heaven, because every single one of us is going to be struggling with sin until the moment God takes us to heaven. So keep showing grace. Because even though the human rights campaign says that homosexuals and transgenders can never change, verse 11 says here they can. Such were some of you. There were people in the church of Corinth who did all these bad things listed in verses 9 and 10. But then they didn't do them anymore because Jesus Christ changed them and washed them and sanctified them and justified them. There were ex-gays in the church at Corinth back then, just like there's ex-gays and ex-transgenders all over the world today. And even though gay activists say that ex-gays do not exist, or that they were never really gay to start with, or that reparative therapy is just spiritual abuse, or that it doesn't work, ministries like PFOX and Love Unto the Light and Living Waters prove over and over and over again Jesus Christ does set people free from the LGBT lifestyle. There's parents listening to this sermon right now. You've got a child who identifies as LGBT. And you think about all the no's. No shower. No wedding. No grandchildren. And you worry about them. You worry about their health. You worry about the relationships that they're in. You worry about their rebellion against God. And you feel like a failure. And you blame yourself and you blame your spouse. And other Christians say stupid things to you like, well, homosexuality is a sin. Like you didn't know that already. Listen to me. You've got to stop fighting this battle alone. And you've got to die to yourself. The only person who can change your child's heart is Jesus Christ. So you take your child to Jesus in prayer and you let Him do it. In His own way and in His own time. And parents, you never stop loving them and you never stop praying for them. I don't care how bad or how ugly it may get. Laura Perry was born in Salem, Oregon in 1983. And grew up with an older brother and two wonderful Christian parents. But for some reason, she never clicked with her mother. She was really hyper. Her brother was really quiet, so she got most of the discipline. And when she found out that her mom lost two boys in the womb before she was ever born, she got the idea that her mom liked boys better than girls, and that boys were better than girls, and that she herself wanted to be a boy. And even though Laura and her family went to a great Christian church, for some reason she got the idea that the Bible was nothing but a bunch of rules that people were supposed to follow. And she totally missed the message that she was an incredible female creation of God. So because she wanted to be a boy, she was attracted to boys from early on and had sex for the first time with a boy when she was only 8 years old. And even though it ripped her parents' heart out, she started sleeping with one guy after the other all the way through high school and college. But her parents never stopped loving her, and they never stopped praying for her, even though she would push them away, even though she needed them the most. Because by the time she was 25 years old, she was so depressed, she was ready to commit suicide. She would give guy after guy everything she had. She would give herself totally away, and none of those guys ever wanted a relationship with her. So the devil finally convinced her if she was ever truly going to be happy, she needed to be a guy herself. So even though it broke her parents' heart, she started calling herself Jake and started taking testosterone. And she grew a beard and went to San Francisco and got a double mastectomy, full-blown reassignment surgery, got her gender changed to male on her birth certificate, and got married. A woman trying to become a man got married to a man who was trying to become a woman. You talk about rocking her parents' world, but through it all, they never once stopped loving her. They never stopped praying for her. And after her surgery, she thought she was going to be happy as a peach pie. All of a sudden, all that depression and all that emptiness came right back on top of her. And she got so depressed that she was never, ever going to be able to become a man. She got hospitalized. But through it all, her parents never stopped calling her Laura. And they never stopped loving her and they never stopped praying for her. And all the years, her parents kept trying to do everything they could think of to reach out to her without pushing her away. And because Laura Perry designed websites for a living, her mom called her one day and asked if she would design a website for the big Bible study that her mom led at her church, knowing that Laura would have to read the Bible studies and the scriptures in them in order to summarize them for the webpage. And what do you know? She did. She started reading the scriptures. She started reading the Bible studies. The Holy Spirit started to work on her heart. And Laura Perry realized for the first time in her life, the Bible was not a book about God's rules. It was a book about God's love. And she started having a real relationship with her mother because she would call her all the time, asking her about the things that she was reading in the Bible studies. And then one night in 2012, the Lord spoke to her heart and said, "Am I going to call you Laura or am I going to call you Jake?" And Laura knew right then and there God was calling her to make a decision. Was she going to be the transgender guy that she created herself to be, or was she going to be the woman of God that God created her to be? 9 days later, she chose Laura by praying to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. She got saved. And she dumped her partner and she started wearing women's clothes. And for the first time, she went to her mother's Bible study, where she found out her parents had had those people in that Bible study praying for her year after year after year that she would come to Christ. And today, Laura Perry goes all over the world with a ministry called Restored Hope Network, telling people trapped in transgenderism that there is freedom in Jesus. This is what she said. "Transgenderism is not in your body, it's all in your head, and it's not true. So I want to encourage parents to keep speaking the truth in love, even if it's not received. Because even when truth makes your loved one mad, it's still truth, and it can still penetrate their heart. My parents never argued with me and never got in my face. They just turned me over to Jesus and let Him deal with me." And He did. Parents, don't ever, 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 ever give up on your kids. You keep loving them. You keep praying for them. You keep reaching out to them. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16. "Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, and I will bring your children back from the land of the enemy." You live in hope. And I know there's some Christians listening to me right now saying, "Kevin, stop it, stop it. I can't take this anymore. Every single week in this series, it's another reminder that this nation's going to hell in a handbasket. And I've got crisis fatigue. I've got attention deficit social justice disorder. Every Sunday after church, all I want to do is go home and lock the door and pull the shades and cry myself to sleep." No. Listen to me. Don't you dare lay down and give up. Because you are not alone. You are not the only one that thinks like you do. There's not something wrong with you. There's something right with you. And there are still 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And God has most assuredly called you for such a time as this. Standing up on these issues and influencing this country for Jesus Christ is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We change one person, one heart, one issue at a time. And our hope is not at all in what we can do. Our hope is in what Jesus Christ can do and what Jesus Christ promises that He can do. Christians, we really are living behind enemy lines. So we shouldn't worry at all about compromising with the world. We shouldn't worry at all about fitting in with the world. We shouldn't worry at all about the world calling us freaks, because the world already thinks we're freaks and we're never going to fit in and we're never going to compromise with them. So without fear, we fight for truth and for the souls of men. And in the end, ultimately, we know we win. Let's pray. Lord, we're living in a nation today that has absolutely rejected You and turned its back on You. And too many times in too many cases, Lord, we admit we've done the same thing. We haven't listened. We haven't obeyed. We've gone our own way. But You have called us for such a time as this in the history of this country at this point in our lives, to be the ones to stand up and say, "This is what God says," and trust Your Holy Spirit to use that word to work in people's hearts. Just pray for all of us. So many of us, Lord, in this room have loved ones, Lord, in the gay lifestyle or transgender lifestyle. And Lord, it breaks our hearts. We see the potential that's lost. We see all the damage that's done. I pray, Lord, that we would keep loving them enough to keep speaking the truth, to keep being some kind of an influence to them as we trust You to bring them to Yourself and to straighten things out. Lord, we're living in a day when everything is turned on its head, people interpreting all kinds of love as nothing but hate, another lie that the devil has told them. I pray, Lord, that they would see that love and see Christ in us as we deal with them. Give us patience. Give us mercy. Lord, every single one of these issues, we just thank you that your word is so clear. We don't have a reason to doubt it. But Lord, give us the strength, the backbone, the courage to take a stand and the love to show you to other people. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.